disciples are getting concerned. The wind started violently blowing, but he was asleep in the stern. Does he not care that we perish? We are helpless and we're so afraid. Jesus arose when they called him, said to them, where is your faith? Because you prayed all night, 'cause you've held on with all of your might. Child, your cries have awoken the Master. Oh, he knows. Child, your cries have awoken the Master. It hit you without any warning. The storm of your life had begun. Seeing no hope in the distance, you're finding nowhere to run. And you're thinking that you'll surely drown. You cried out for help from the Savior, and you know that you can't give up now, because you prayed all night, 'cause you've held on with all of your might. Child, your cries have awoken the Master. Oh, he knows your voice. Lift your hands, it's time to rejoice. Child, your cries have awoken the Master. When you're up there worried that he's fast asleep, the winds are so deadly, water so deep, but try to be patient, 'cause soon he'll bring peace. Just one word from his voice and it all must cease. Because you prayed all night, 'cause you've held on with all of your might. Child, your cries have awoken the Master.
Thomas, you want to help us take a part from? Thank you for that, Zoe. Thank you for Kaylee. Wonderful.
Please bless the tithes and offerings. Please bless Brother Dale and Brother Wade and all the taking ministers. Lord, please bless the church progress and everything else. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's, while he passes that, let's just sing Take Up Your Cross and Follow Jesus, key of F.
Take up your cross and follow Jesus. Take up your cross every day. Don't be ashamed to say that you know it. Take up your cross and follow Him. Oh, take up your cross and follow Jesus. Take up your cross every day. Don't be ashamed to say that you know Him. Just count the cost. Take up your cross and follow Him.
Let's stand to our feet. Sing that once again.
Oh, take up your cross and follow Jesus. Take up your cross every day. Don't be ashamed to say that you know Him. Just count the cross and take up your cross and follow Him.
Sing it unto Him one more time now.
Oh, take up your cross and follow Jesus. Take up your cross every day. Don't be ashamed. Take up your cross and follow Him. Oh, take up your cross and follow Jesus. Take up your cross every day. Don't be ashamed.
Follow Jesus every day. It's a walk. Good to be back in the house of the Lord. Good to have each and every one of you here. I'm not on yet. Am I not on? Okay, I am now.
How about now?
Okay. All righty then. Lord, if y'all can't hear me out without this thing, y'all in trouble. I don't know how they got left off, but the April birthdays, there's two other ones, David Marunga, right? And Chloe Collins, right? And Jonathan Durrett. How in the world did we miss all them three? I don't know, but guess what? Text messages hit the phone. Just saying, I thought y'all were supposed to have your phones off. But here comes these text messages. It's Chloe's birthday's today. David's birthday's today. So we need to add that on here. And we do make mistakes. I'm sorry, we're not perfect yet. Getting there, though. But we will add those. We're not going to sing it again. But just pretend that we did. Because I'm not going to start singing it. But we appreciate it. A lot of birthdays in April, but not as many as in January when all the good people was born. Just saying. Amen. I see that. Amen. Amen. Yeah, that's right. Okay. Thank you, brother, sisters. God bless you. Anywho. All right, let me get through these announcements. Prayer for everybody on spring break. June's already gone with Deanna. They got like a six-hour drive, so they're heading on out so they can get there before dark. Brother Aaron will be speaking for us Wednesday night, Lord willing. The 7th at 7 o'clock this coming Friday will be Good Friday, and we'll have Brother Dutch Scott with us. And then Saturday at 3 o'clock we'll have a fellowship meeting. Brother Chris Long will be here, and we will have food will be provided. And Sister Esther and Sister James kind of got that all straightened out. We sure appreciate them doing that for us. And then on the 9th, we'll have one service. And if we have any food left over, we can stay and eat that. So, but just we'll just play that by ear. If we don't, then we'll go home. Or we know where Culver's is, right?
Yes.
Well, Monica doesn't. Monica doesn't. There's a new restaurant over in Commerce called Culver's. Well, yeah, we'll go try them out today if y'all want to. Somebody, it's June, or somebody leaned over the other day and said, you know, back when we were message believers and little kids, it was Shoney's. Shoney's was the mecca for message believers. Well, we have ordained we have put Culver's on that list. Culver's is now the place where all true believers go. I'm up here, I can say what I want to. But praise the Lord anyhow. We do have a good time at Culver's. We do have a good time of fellowship. And we do like their food, and we appreciate the Lord allowing us to have a time or somewhere to fellowship. All right, so that's the 9th. There'll be one service. Brother Chris Long will be here with us. April the 16th will be Dad's 83rd birthday. That'll be on Sunday. So after the second service, we'll have cake and ice cream and whatever else we need to do, gifts and all that. Then also remember on the 30th, Brother Willie Smiley will be here that weekend, with us. Normal services on Sunday, and just keep all this in prayer. I appreciate the different ministers that we've had. Brother Jack Duff was just enough to make you want to hear some more. Amen. You know, coming in, speaking to the youth, and then hadn't heard him in a long time, so. And he's got a little different angle on things, which is fine. That's what fivefold ministry is for. It's to bring a fold of it that you can't see. A fivefold. They fold it out five times, the word of God. If you fold one in, you can't really see the map. But when you unfold it all, you'll be able to see the map. Now, those of you that are young, you don't know what a map is. You know what Google Map is. But we used to literally have to take a map out and lay it on the car, on the hood, right? And go right here, this road. No, let's don't go that road. Let's go this road. Anyway, we didn't have somebody said turn left or recalculating. No, it was always your wife going, you missed the road. So anyway, praise the Lord for the Lighthouse of Refuge. Now they have a pastor, and it's Brother Isaac Negron, and we sure do. We talked to him just a few minutes ago, and he's faithful to the challenge, and we're faithful to the challenge with him. All right. Yeah, ma'am. And like I said, this is not goodbye. This is actually more of hello. We can bring the two churches together and have a good time in the Lord. Also, no one said anything about Father's Day. I'm going to ask you now, do y'all want to go back to the deer place or the lodge up there? Helen, that's where that is. If anybody wants to go up there, raise your hand. If you want to go back up there, raise your hand. All right, Timbo wants to go. Don't be ashamed. Tony wants to go. Bless his heart. He's closer to Deer Lodge. Anderson's back there. Now, who wants to go over to the pond and have the afternoon thing over at Terrence's? One, two, three. John? Four. 5-4. And those of you that didn't vote, sorry. So we're going to, we'll talk about it and see what. I just happened to look online. I was looking at something. I said, I'm just going to see because, you know, the last 2 years somebody had it rented during the weekend of Father's Day. But this year it's not rented. The weekend after is rented. So we will, if y'all want to, I'll just go ahead and we'll get that. And I kind of like to have it up there, too, simply because it's air conditioning. We can stay a few days. We can fish and fellowship. We can still go over to the pond and fish over there if anybody wants to, need to see Brother Terrence about that. But we thank the Lord that we've got options to be able to go different places. So we sure appreciate that. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll get into godliness here in just a few minutes. Dear Lord, thank you for this day that you give us. We appreciate, as we were saying the other day, when you get up in the morning, we sure ought to thank you. Because there's millions of people, millions out of the 8 billion people. Let's just say there's 100,000 people that were not able to put their feet on the floor this morning. They passed on from this world, and whatever their destination is, it will be sealed on this side. Now, Father, I pray that you give us now one more opportunity to put our feet on the floor and to get ready and to come to the house of God and expect you to be here to fulfill our needs, to help us with the things of life, to help us with our spiritual walk, to help us with our body as far as healing. Lord, thank you for that. So now let us, as the Bible says, redeem the time. Let us do that and not be dilatory. Let us not be frivolous or pass this by as just another meeting because it's Sunday. We're going to have to go to church. Lord, I came to hear from you. I came to see you. I came to hear the experiences of your children and to feel the presence. And Lord, as we feel the presence of you, Lord, it's the presence of the people. It's the presence of the people around us, Lord, that keeps us motivated, that keeps us going and gives us a desire to serve you more. A desire to, if we could, we'd have church service every day. But Father, we are heading toward that. If we'll do what we need to do here, as the Bible tells us in Hebrews, that Moses forsook Egypt. He could have been the Pharaoh. He forsook Egypt for a little short time of pleasure maybe he could have had down here. He counted it nothing so that he could have a better place to go to. And Lord, he's waiting on a group of people to see who they are and what they're doing here. And there'll be a resurrection, Lord. They'll all come out from all the ages, Lord, and we'll go into the millennium and we'll be able to talk to each and every one, Lord, and be able to move around and do what we want to do and be able to meet old warriors that we never met before. I was thinking this morning, never met Sister Jackie, Brother George Quinn's wife, but we knew so much about her because of Brother George. We knew him so much, and he spoke so highly of his wife. Lord, it's just a time. I won't see her in her sickness. I won't see her in her gray hair. We'll see her in the prime of life. Father, we thank you for that. It's not a hope. It's a surety that we will see. As Brother Joseph this morning, or just a few minutes ago, was putting the pictures up on the board down there, showing Brother Al at 18 years old. What a nice-looking individual. Well, Father, I pray that you just hold him where he's at. That's the way he looks now. You just hold him right where he's at. Give us a time, Lord. Comfort Sister Anna, Lord, while he's passing. All these different ones, Lord. Sister Charlotte, Sister Kathy, Sister Rebecca. If I miss one, I'm sorry. But just comfort each one knowing that they're sitting right now around something. Or maybe a tree or a rock over in that sixth dimension. And they're waiting on us to fulfill this journey. Father, we pray that we will be then diligent to make our calling and election sure. To make sure that we're doing the right thing. That we're going to, as we'll read in a minute, Paul says, run this race with patience. Looking to the author and the finisher of our faith, Jesus Christ. Thank you for all things, Lord. Heal our bodies. Be with the ones who are on the highways. Be with the sick, Lord. Take care of us in the furtherment of this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Do you ever sit and do that? Do you ever sit? Now, maybe I'm crazy. Do you ever sit and think about what they're doing over there? I do. I mean, what's Tom doing? He's doing something. They're not sitting there twiddling their thumbs. They're doing something. You know, Richard Marlowe, he's doing something. Wanting to know the score of the Georgia game. I don't know, man. I don't know what he's, you know, that's not right. But I'm just kidding. But he's not, they're not just sitting there going, well, we'll just, no. Brother Brown said they came running over the hill. They came shouting. They came screaming toward him. So I don't believe they're sitting over there real quiet. I think, but they're sitting there waiting on me and you, though. They're waiting on something that put them there is going to bring them here. Amen. That's what we were talking about last night. That sixth dimension, listen, that sixth dimension is made just for the bride. Just for the bride. No one else. It's made for the bride of Jesus Christ that have went on and had their earthly journey here and went on to be with the Lord. And they're waiting in a place. Even Brother Branham. He's gathered with that group that we were just talking about. Because he'd be gathered with his people. And they're sitting there waiting on us. And I hope and pray sometimes when we do talk about them and reminisce and Sister Anna cry, that's okay. Cry about them that they're going. Hang on, just hang on, just hang on, just a little bit longer. Hold on, because we're coming back. That's what they told Brother Brown. They said we got to go back. They got to come back down here and get their earthly bodies. All right, so let's try now and preach our way to that. All of us. All right, this is part 99. In the beginning was the Word. Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So what happened is when they laid their natural flesh down here, though, what did they take on? The Word body. Amen. That Word body is what they're in now. That Word created a body by the Word they took here. That theophany is not over there hanging up in a closet. It came to them at their new birth. And then what happened was this body can't go through that other dimension, so it has to stop, be laid down. But they just stepped over into another faster dimension, and they're waiting on us to finish this thing up. And we appreciate that God's let us even be able to see this. I do. I appreciate God letting me. You say, well, it's a fearful time. Not if you got the Holy Ghost. If you don't, yes, it is a fearful time. But if you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, they should be. That's supposed to take away the fear, I thought Brother Branham said. All right. Full of grace and truth. 2 Peter 1 says, besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, temperance patience, patience godliness. You may be seated. I'll read 1 Timothy 3. It says, without controversy, and we'll read that in just a minute, because that means, right, well, we'll read it now. Without controversy. Great is the mystery of godliness. Now, what is the mystery of godliness? It's great. What is the mystery? God was manifested in the flesh.
Yes.
In the beginning was the Word. All right. So John 1, it goes right with 1 Timothy. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit. And that Spirit is where today? Inside of you. Right. Seen of angels. If God would just every once in a while let us have a flicker, we'll be able to see angels all over the place. The angel of the Lord is encamped about those who fear him. Not just one hanging around sleeping or whatever. No, they're working. There's more going on in another dimension than there are in this dimension. I promise you that, because they can move through. The spirits can move through. Good and bad, sorry. Preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. And then remember, that was not his ending. That was just his beginning. He came right back down on the day of Pentecost, and he went into our flesh. So now he is still in the beginning was the Word. Now he's beginning to end it because the Word's being made flesh in me and you. All right? And that word controversy means strife, dispute, strife, or quarrel. So in other words, Paul's saying without quarrel, without disputation, we're not going to sit down and dispute this. Paul, the great master builder, he finally come to a place, he said, I ain't talking about this no more. Without controversy, great is this mystery of godliness. Now, why can't people that are not in the message see that? Because they're said, oh, there's no way we can be like God. We can't be this. We can't be white. We can't be blameless as we're going to. The Bible's full of us being having white robes. It's full of us being made in his image. It's full of them being part of his promise. It's full of, just in a few minutes, we'll read, blameless.
Yes.
Now listen, you go to court. Come on. You go to court. And if you weren't even there when whatever they brought you in and accused you of some fault, something, they can accuse me of robbing a bank. I've never done it before, but they can accuse you. But when I walk in there and prove that I'm blameless, the real me didn't do it. I wasn't there. That's the way you got to look at your sin. He's took away and made you blameless. I'll read it in just a minute. It's full. The Bible's full of it. Be therefore perfect. And then Ephesians, without the fivefold ministry, you can't be perfect, but with them, you can be perfect. What we're looking at is, as Brother Brown says, sinless perfection, where that we have no bad thoughts. Tomorrow we don't get up in the morning and have this little altercation with the guy in the other car. Hello, somebody. A little road rage going on, you know. He waves at you with his middle finger. Well, that's just part of life. You know what you used to do? You put your finger out the window. Right? I hope you don't do that now. So that's what we moved to. We've moved from that to this. So to me, that's perfection. That's beginning to be the place to where you and I can be number one. We can be used of God and be like God. All right? But we're going to be God. We're not going to be like Him. Everybody with me? Satan's going to be like Him. He wants to be like Him. He wants to be so close to Him. So we talked about the plan. I'll kind of hurry through this today. We got communion and foot washing. So foreknowledge, we were talking this morning about the plan. The plan of redemption is perfect. But the reason I keep looping back to it is the part that we don't see is mainly in the world. We were talking about this last night. Mainly in the world, the Bible does say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You can't dispute that. That's without disputation. That's without controversy. There'll be a group of people that's going to be saved because they believe that scripture. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting or eternal life. Amen? But now that doesn't mean bride. Don't get quiet. That doesn't mean bride. That means salvation. That means justified. That means sanctified condition. And you really, as Brother Joe and I were talking last night, God knows your heart. But He knows that sometimes you get put in a situation or you put yourself in a situation where you don't go on with God. That's why He knew David's heart. He couldn't kill David, but David was a liar and a murderer. Premeditated murder. They would have put him in front of the firing squad if he was doing that today. Had his best friend killed on purpose. His best friend killed on purpose. So he could cover up his adultery. Wow. Yeah, that's what we got to look at. But you know what? He made it because God knew his heart. He was the apple of God's eye. He had the, in other words, the heart of God. If he could have had the new birth, he would have never done that. So that's why that we come from that administration of the Old Testament to the administration of the New Testament, where then what? That makes us not more perfect than David, but we are more perfect than David. David had flaws and big time flaws, and you and I have flaws, but we come to the new birth where it doesn't just cover it and push it to Calvary. It takes it and completely, he can't even remember that you did it. Amen. Praise the Lord. He wouldn't remember that you did it. That's what the blood of Jesus Christ, now the blood of bulls and goats, was a remembrance every year. Right. Couldn't do away with it. We'll read it here in just a few minutes because it's part of this. That's why this statue of perfect man is part of the plan. Right. And if you leave one part out, what happens? It doesn't work. Right. I don't care if it's all written down real pretty and you made these pretty charts. If you're not growing in God, it's like Brother Brown said, you're not putting your shoulder to the wheel or you're not wanting to move any further, God's, that's okay. It's okay with God because He's very timid. We were talking about it today, Brother Branham, thank God for a prophet, to describe the Holy Ghost. Because a description of the Holy Ghost is not this fire and brimstone spirit. It's a very timid spirit, Brother Branham said. He said He's very timid. He said He will back away when you tell Him to back away. And He will not go any further than you will allow Him. Boy, that's your free moral agency. All right? But I want to go on with God. I want Him to come into my house, open my doors, and come on in and clean the thing out. Because I need some cleaning out, and I know we all do. All right? But He saw this, and He knew. Listen, He knew I would need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He knew you would need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He knew that you would need virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience. You know why? Because He stood on earth, and I'll read it here in just a few minutes, that He learned by the things He suffered. Yes. and being made perfect. Christ being made perfect, the flesh part. The humanity was being made perfect by what? The things he suffered. God had to have a human brain. Part of the plan. He decided that's what it was going to be. So guess what? It must be perfect that he came when he did. And that he did what he did. And the Holy Spirit is that timid person. So foreknowledge looks back and says that he foresaw this. See, we can't see that because I want you to sit here just for about 2 seconds. All right, it's up. Don't worry about it now. I want you to, you know what you did today. I hope not now, but between service, because I did the same thing. I'm getting my day started tomorrow. Some of you are doing it right now. But we're human, but what are we doing? Well, I know exactly what's going to happen tomorrow. We do not. We do not. But God does. He knows exactly what's going to happen tomorrow. He knows exactly what's going to happen the next day. He knows exactly what you need for tomorrow already. So why don't we lean into that instead of, like the old scripture says, don't lean not to your what? Own understanding. All right, try to figure this out. All right. We were talking last night, we were in the Bible study, and we had done this little chart years ago about from Adam to the future home. And when I first did it, there were some flaws in it. So Brother Joe and different ones, I can't remember all, but some of them helped me put it together. And Brother Bob, different ones he did on the Daniel 70 weeks. Because it's you have to keep thinking. And what are you saying, Brother Wade? Well, now God didn't have to do that. God didn't ask your advice or my advice. He didn't even ask the devil's advice. He said, this is the picture. There it is, and it's perfect. Right? He didn't have to ask. No, he made it perfect the first time. You and I need to ask. We have to ask because we're not all knowing. All right? Or even a know-it-all. All right? So we have to depend on God, though, and that's why we move by the Holy Spirit. We feel that tug going one direction. The reason I'm saying this is Brother Brown said, if we've got to get back to the faith of the fathers, which is all these virtues that we haven't even got, I mean, we've got 2/3 of them done, but they had it working in their life, and they would be walking down the road, and Brother Brown said they'd feel a little tug. Yeah. Yes, feel a little tug. Or they're getting ready to do something. Is hang on a minute. Hold on a minute. I mean, are we being led by that? Are we being led by our own self and make all kind of mistakes? But that's what we're supposed to get back to. Before we can talk about a body change, before we can talk about the headstone, before we can even talk about adoption, we've got to be able to know the moving of the Holy Spirit in your life. That's just the bottom right down there at the bottom. We've got to know the leading of the Lord in our life. Not just going through life. Who said today willy-nilly? I ain't heard that in a long time. Willy-nilly. Yeah, willy-nilly. I ain't heard that in a long time. Somebody used to say that a long time. But you just go willy-nilly. You know, you're just like, oh, whatever, you know. No, if God's got a plan and a purpose and you got to get into that, you can't go any other way. That's right. If you go any other way, it now becomes your plan.
That's right.
And your plan might not be God's plan. Mine usually never is. Well, I guess I'm the only one that's not perfect. Me and these two sitting up here on the front. The rest of y'all, help us. Pray for us up here on the front row. And therefore, knowing that all these marvelous days that we're living in now, and we stand in witness and see the things that we've seen. Brother Ram is expounding on what he saw in his ministry was the mind of God bringing it to a prophet, and that prophet being able. There's no way. I think we just heard it just a few minutes ago. You know, Brother Branham didn't discern no one. He didn't. He said, I'm waiting on him. Even though he had the Holy Ghost. Even though he was a church age messenger and he had just preached the word of God, he said, I'm waiting on him. Without him, I can't do anything. So there had to be a special anointing come on that man for that type of ministry so that God, remember many times Brother Branham would say, I don't know what I just said, but if he said it, it's got to be true. He so got out of himself until God spoke and he didn't even know what he was saying. And then he steps back in and he says, I don't know what I just said, but whatever I said, if he said it, it's got to be true. All right? He said his face would get numb in one place, his lips and all would get numb. Said he would stay under that anointing. Brother Billy Paul told us in a testimony that they'd have to take him and just lay him out on the bed in a motel room, and then he'd get over it tomorrow. Anybody want that? Didn't think so. But he had it. We don't have to have it like that, but we have to have it in our portion. To be able to discern right from wrong, to be able to discern whether you need this, that, or the other. You put that in there yourself. But we've got to come to a place, though, that these virtues are part of the plan. We know that they're part of the plan, and we've got to have that part of the plan. All right? So now that we do, as we've said here before many times, we've stepped back with Brother Branham into the mind of God. Now, he might have went in there first, but he was first partakers. He was the first one to come to a level of adoption, especially around Christ the Mystery of God Revealed, because that was after the seals broke. So he was into his ministry, and he was into a place where he come to adoption, and he come to where he was speaking the Word of God, and God was, I'll tell you something a little bit about that, where he would back up everything Brother Brown said. If you'll watch, after 1963, this is the growth of a prophet. Before 1963, from 47, he would be, I'm waiting on him. Just like I said, hundreds of times, thousands of times, I'm waiting on him. I can't do anything. You know what I'm waiting on, he'd say. Because he'd start talking, not rambling, but he'd start talking, telling a story, and he was waiting on something to show up that he hadn't had previously before, all right? And when he did that, then he would, step into the prophetic role, and then he would discern the thoughts and intents of the heart, all right? Is everybody with me? All right? Some of you are not. So, anyway, you're in nod. But you watch after 63. Yeah. Keep watching your prayer lines. He really doesn't have many prayer lines after 63, after the seals broke. He started calling people out. And he never had to say, I don't say never, it might be a place, somebody might find one and say, I'm telling a story. But you see it very prevalent in the 40s to the 60s. But after 63, he pretty much just goes right into the prayer line and starts discerning people out. He doesn't really say I'm waiting on him. Why? He's come to a place where God is what? Comfortable with allowing the prophet to use the gift without saying I'm waiting on him. Why? Because the seals had opened, because he had come to a place of adoption. What is adoption? Adoption is saying it and God backing it up because it's God saying it in the first place. That's what we have to come to. So all that was for the prophet. That prophetic gift that he was waiting on was his. The gift he used where he could just call people out, that's a gift of a prophet, and that can be a prophet in a fivefold ministry. All right? Everybody all right? But that's what we're looking at. When he went back in the back part of God's mind, he took us with him. You know what he took us with him in? Tape and book form. He took us back. We couldn't all stand and go back in that sphere that he was in to preach that message or to go back in the back part of God's mind and God show him everything. But remember, he called us eaglets and little messiahs. So he didn't put us way down here and said, hey, you got to wait till I come back. Come on, somebody. Yeah, so I can give you the rest of this secret. No, sorry. He opened up. When the seals opened, listen, they didn't close back. He didn't close them back. He's not an Indian giver. Like I said, when he opened them up, they're open. Now, if you say they're closed, they might be to you, but not to me, not to the rest of us. It's an open book. So what is that open book? It's going back into the back part of God's mind. It's going back to a place that there's no limitation of what we can do. Everybody with me? That's what we got to get to, where there's no limitation. Because what's no limitation going to do? It's going to bring the body change. It's going to bring the dead out of the ground. It's going to bring us to a place to where we don't have to. We don't have to work anything up. Let's just put it that way. I don't care much for that anyway, but there's some that you have to do that to. And I don't mind. I was thinking back there just a few minutes ago. If you need it, like we bring ministers in, like Brother Andrew Glover and different ones that you know, kind of lifts up. That's what his job is.
Right.
That's his job.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't take him every Sunday. Because
right.
He's a special preacher.
Right.
And I'll tell him, I just, he won't mind. I'm saying, I'm talking about him. I'll call him and tell him. But you wouldn't have that every Sunday.
Right.
You couldn't stand it. Right? So you get him for a special meeting, you bring it up to a place to where he brings the people to a spot, and then God can work on your needs and your things that are going on in your life, and then you got to come back down and listen to a preacher. But hopefully you've got rid of, while you were here, you got rid of some of that garbage, and then you come back here and sit every Sunday and you listen. And you listen to somebody labor and somebody try to get a point across. That I know now why Brother Dale, he used to loop back and forth a lot. He would always cover, recover, and cover it again.
Right?
Right? I see why now. Because we're not all getting it, and we don't get it all at one time. And we don't have to, and he wasn't a fast-paced preacher where we had to catch up. No, he would bring it as an ox, as a laborer. He would bring it to us, and then what do we do about it? We're going to try our best to do what that, produce what that word came to. So if we're back in the back part of God's mind, there was something he was going and trying to achieve. So what was it? Then now we know the plan. Remember what I said last night, for those of you there, there were, you know, 25, 30 of us there. I said, if you take 20 people and just go get them in Gainesville and just get them off the street. Christians, I mean Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal. Just gather you 20 people up and bring them into that Bible study we had last night. Let them sit there for 2 hours. They would think we were the absolute, we had come from another planet.
Amen.
Just because of what's common to us.
Amen.
What's common to us, and it would just flow back and forth, and people would ask questions, and then they'd make comments, and you know, Brother Aaron is back there getting quotes, and Brother Joe and Brother Luis is pulling up quotes, and that's what Bible study is about.
Right.
It's not all about one person.
Amen.
It's about people coming together, and you know, there was a question asked, and I'll promise y'all know last night, I just said I can't answer that. My mind wasn't even on it, whatever, I can't remember what it was. Yeah, Rebecca and I, why love Jacob instead of Esau? It was like Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig. It went from me, and that's why I asked for help. You know what? Got it. That's the body. That's the body working. That's the Holy Ghost saying, hey, I can help you over here. Let's give that guy a break. So Luis and them came back, looped right around, and exactly went to Scripture, and exactly went to, I don't know if they read any quotes, but they went straight to Scripture, and Scripture explained every bit of it. So to me, that's what being in the back part of God's mind, all of us, being able to understand these virtues and know that they're not just human given, but they're God given. All right? They're God-given virtues, not human. You have a certain amount of virtue in you already. You have a certain amount of knowledge. You have a certain amount of temperance. Some people you can put up with, some you can't. So he was going to achieve something. And he had a motive. And what was that motive? It was to work through you. To work through us. Co-workers. All right? Is everybody with me? So in his great mind, he wanted these attributes to be expressed. You know, that's what these are. These are the attributes of God. The virtue of God. The knowledge of God. God bless whatever's going on out there. In him was love, and him was to be Father, and him was to be Son, Savior, Healer. All these great attributes that we see already expressed, they were in God. Now here, let me read this part. This is something that came to me this morning. Because remember, we all know for a fact, we came here spotted. All right? Like Bob said, people hate. I'm telling you, people in the message will throw you out of their church to read that quote where Brother Branham said you were born between Satan and Eve. Because it just destroys their whole doctrine. Because you're born between Satan and Eve. Now, y'all know, you ministers know, that's something you really, if you go preach somewhere, you don't go preach that, or you may do it one time. Right, Bob? One time, you get that one and done, you know, you got that one hit wonder. But if you punch something that you're not supposed to punch, sayonara, I'll call you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Y'all know, but you see that, some of y'all don't, you're just going, no, y'all over-exaggerate. No, we're not. We're not. There's certain things you don't preach in other people's church anyway, but you really be careful about that quote right there. That quote got me in trouble one time, and I read it right from Brother Branham's message. That Brother Branham said we were born between Satan and Eve, and proved it by the Bible. Oh, boy. All right, Hebrews 9:13 says, "If the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling, look, the unclean, watch, sprinkled the unclean, sanctify to the purifying of it." Didn't say soul. Purifying of the flesh. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God. Now, if he offered himself without spot to God, where is that person? If you got the new birth, he's inside of you right now. That spotless person. That blameless person is inside of you. All right? Working his way out, teaching us in our spirit realm how to handle or become these virtues. All right? Who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. He's asking a question. And for this cause, he is the mediator of this New Testament. All right? In other words, he's the one that brings it forth. He is actually going to be the testator, or the one that brings it up, or brings it to the forefront. Just like when he was in the upper room, and we're going to read it today, where he says, "This is the cup of the New Testament in my blood." There was an old, now there's a new. All right? "That by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions." Now we know we transgressed. "That were under the first testament." What was the first testament? Old Testament, bulls and goats. The transgression was still there. Man, it was just covered. "They which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance." Now that's not bulls and goats. That's not eternal. That's temporary. So what's he doing? He's bringing in this new administration, or this New Testament. "For where a testament is," what is a testament? It's a document. Or something verbal back then, more than a document. "There must also be of necessity be the death of the one that wrote it." Amen. Usually, normally, 99.9% of the time, you're not going to get a will read unless somebody dies. Because it's called something else if you're still alive. A living will, or whatever you want to call it. And if mom and dad wants to give me everything, that's fine, perfect with me. Praise the Lord. Anyhow, just thought I'd put that in there. But if they want to wait till Lord forbid what happens and we have to read the will, maybe them other kids will get something. "Where there is a testament," which is something written down. That'll wake y'all up a little bit. It's something written down. It's a testament. Listen, they wrote the Old Testament. Old Testament. It was written by prophets that were doing what? Pointing us to the New Testament. They knew they couldn't. Listen, that's why David could cry. He could cry, "Lord, why is this happening to me?" Samuel, different ones. Even Saul. And poor old Lot. Bless his heart, Lot was saved. Do y'all know that? The Bible said the sins of Sodom vexed his righteous soul. So don't kick Lot out. But now look what he went through. They burned his city. And you know what happened after that? Where a testament is, there must also be a necessity, be the death of the testator. That's why Jesus held the cup up. He said, this is the New Testament in my blood. In other words, I've got to die to release the life, to come back. And this is a symbol of it right here, like we're fixing to take in a few minutes. For a testament is a force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength. That's why. How in the world could we get our sins forgiven if the Lord never died? If Jesus never died, we have no forgiveness of sins. We have no, not just covering, we have no eradication of sin. You can't be without spot. You can't be blameless without this blood. Is everybody with me? All right, look, 2 Peter 3 says, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things. Now watch, here, we're looking at this testament. Be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, look, without spot and blameless. Have you ever read that before? Sister Anna brought me a scripture she had read about the dove ascending on Jesus and all, you know, that whole scenario. And I said, that wasn't in your Bible just a couple of days ago. Somebody just stuck it in there. How many of you would swear almost that you read the Bible and you keep reading it and you go, that wasn't in there 3 weeks ago. Well, you know what? Light wasn't shining on it. This now the light is shining on this, and this is what I see. Therefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. But we're born between Satan and Eve. An account that, look, that the long-suffering of our Lord, which is long-suffering means patience, of our Lord is salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written, in other words, wrote that to you. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 7. So that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus. Now watch what Paul's talking to the Corinthians. Who shall also confirm you, not confirm God, not confirm Paul, shall confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, he's not finished, by the name of our Lord Jesus, that you all speak the same thing. And that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. That don't happen in this day, I'll promise you that. Philippians 2:15, that's how far we are away from being like the book of Acts. Philippians 2 verse 15 says, that you may be blameless. How many times have I got to read that? Blameless. Without spot. Keep reading it. Just put in without spot. 35 or 40 quotes in the Bible. Look, the sons of God without rebuke. But he didn't put you in a bubble. That's right. He put you in a perverse nation. Right. In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Lord, why did you do? Well, he put you there for a purpose. He put you right here for a purpose. All right, among whom you shine as lights in the world. That, to me, is the plan of God. That you shine. That you're blameless. That you're without spot. That you have on white robes. Without spot or wrinkle. Can you believe that? To me, see, that's your New Testament. You can call all New Testament being Philippians and Corinthians. The New Testament is that life making you, that word making you spotless in your life and in your belief. I said belief. And in your walk with God. Because Brother Bram said that's where we lost it, right? It was our walk, the walk with God. All right, let's go to patience real quick. Just 3 o'clock. The word patience means steadfastness, constancy. See, I can be patient with something that's consistent. Can you be patient with something that's inconsistent? Not as good. Think about that. If it's inconsistent, I don't have a lot of patience for that. Because it's here and then it's over here. But if something is constant, if the Word of God is constant, if it's enduring, then I can take and put my patience in that. That God will do what He said He would do. I'm not going to do what God said to do. God's going to do what He said He would do. I just got to plug myself into that. In the New Testament, it's the characteristics of a man who has not swerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest, what? Trials and suffering. Patiently and steadfastly. James 1 verse 2 says, my brethren, count it all joy. We read this morning. Joy. Let's say joy.
Joy.
When you fall into many temptations. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that love, that you may be perfect. Here we go. Blameless. Blameless. Without spot. Without wrinkle. Perfect. And entire. Wanting nothing. Wow. If we could leave this church today with that right there. Perfect. Entire. Wanting nothing. You wouldn't dread Monday. I don't dread it anyway. I'm off. I do dread Thursday though. Thursday will be my Monday when me and Thomas get done. Y'all pray for Thomas. I'm going to work him to death. He volunteered to go. Brother Branham in the church age book said, look. Now the Lord God Almighty says, I know. There He is walking in the midst of His people. There He is the chief shepherd of the flock. But does He hold back the persecution? Does He stem the tribulation? No, He does not. He simply says, I know your tribulation. I'm not at all unmindful of your suffering. What a stumbling block that is to so many people. Like Israel, they wondered if God really loved them. How can God be just and loving if He stands by and watches His people suffer? That is what they said in Malachi 1, 1 through 3, the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet we say, within hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Brother Ram continues. He said, you see, they could not figure out God's love. This is where we're going to talk about election just for a second. They thought that love meant no suffering. They thought that love meant a baby with parental care. But God said that His love was elective love. The proof of His love is election. That no matter what happened, His love was proven truly by the fact that you were chosen unto salvation. Because God hath chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Watch. He may commit you to death as He did Paul. Wow. He may commit you. Remember, the Holy Spirit Himself spoke to a prophet and said, Paul, don't you go to Rome. You will not make it back. Isn't that what He said? He was expressly told not to go by the Holy Spirit, is what the Bible says. But He went anyway. Why? He said He had to go to Rome. And we see all that work with Paul. But the Spirit of God told him, don't do that. All right? He may commit you to death as He did Paul. He may commit you to suffering as He did Job. Have I hit anybody yet? That is His prerogative. He is sovereign. But it is all with a purpose. He knows. If He puts you through this trial, you're going to fail. He knows if He puts you through this trial, you're going to win. but it's your choice. If he did not have a purpose, then he would be the author of frustration and not of peace. His purpose is that after we have suffered a while, we would be made perfect, be established, strengthened, and settled. As Job said, he put strength in me, Job 23:6. You see, he himself suffered. Talking about Jesus. He learned obedience by the things that he suffered. He was actually made perfect by the things that he suffered. Hebrews 5:8 says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Watch what Brother Brown says. In plain language, the very character of Jesus was perfected by suffering. And according to Paul, he has left his church a measure of suffering that they too, by their faith in God while suffering for him, would come to a place of perfection. Why did he want this? This is kind of a long quote, but I like it. James 1:2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into many temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And we read that a little while ago. Why does he stand by? This is Brother Brown. Why does he stand by? The reason is in Romans 8:17. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed, what, in us? Yes. We've read these scriptures before. Brother Brown, it's a continuous quote. Unless we suffer with him, we cannot reign with him. Amen. You have to suffer to reign. The reason for this is that character simply is never made without suffering. Character is a victory, not a gift. A man without character can't reign, because power apart from character is satanic. But power with character is fit to rule. And since he wants us to share, look, even his throne, on the same basis that he overcome and is set down in his Father's throne, then we have to overcome to sit with him. And the little temporary sufferings we go through now is not worthy to be compared to the tremendous glory that will be revealed in us when he comes. Oh, what a treasure. What treasures are laid up for those who are willing to enter into his kingdom through much tribulation. Why are you reading this, Brother Wade? Tribulation worketh patience. Every bit of that was because you got patience. You'll endure. You'll make it through every bit of that. All right? Says now, he says, you're beginning to reflect the works of Christ. But so many of us try to do the works of Christ before the reflection, I read this morning, of Christ is in us. Now there's the trouble. We find these things happening, you know. We see these stumbles along the road. You know what a scrap heap is? I know Brother Donnie does different. It's just a jumbled up pile of nothing. Can't be used. It's just a jumbled up pile of mess. It probably used to be a car. Probably used to be a bicycle or a motorcycle. But it's just a pile of junk. And it doesn't help anything. What do you do with a scrap heap? You take it to the refinery. And you melt it. And vulcanize it back together. We find the scrap heaps of ministers, of Christians, piled along the road is because they didn't go into it right. I pray that we go into it right. I've been praying for a while that we go into this thing right. That we not go in frivolously and not go into it as just another sermon from another preacher. Yes, right. So that's why I'm here this morning, to try to teach this little church and myself how that we can become the dwelling place of the living God. And how many like that? We talked about it this morning. Everybody says amen. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. But it's long-suffering. That word long-suffering means bear long, suffer long, patiently endure, to be of a long spirit. Not to lose heart. To persevere patiently and bravely in enduring what? Misfortune and trouble. to be patient in bearing the offenses and injuries of others, to be mild and slow to punish. Brother Bam said, fourthly, you want to add patience to your faith because it worketh. Patience, we know that. But we have glory, we have shouts because we got faith. But when we come down to these things here, God can't build us into that stature. He's talking about all these other virtues. Listen, there's a lot of people that's got faith. There's people out in the world's got faith. They believe in what they're doing and would die for it. But is it the right kind? Is it just because faith alone won't do it? Faith alone in our walk, according to the message of the hour and according to the Bible, faith alone is not going to do it because faith without works is dead. All right, watch this right here. We read it this morning. I think it's kind of where we stopped. And Abraham, we found out, didn't obey God just right. Now remember, hold on a minute. Abraham's the father of our faith. The father of our faith. The guy that we, if we had a picture of faith, we'd put Abraham's picture up. Right? He didn't obey God just right. I'm reading prophet. Now he made ready and had faith in the promise, but see, we can still have faith in the promise and then not obey. Still, it'll hinder us. God said, Abram, get up and walk, and he did, but he took Lot with him, and it's just bad business from then on. Just faith alone won't work, because faith without works is dead. Amen. Let's continue to get through. I want to get to godliness. It's 3:20. We're doing okay. And you're talking about people coming to church. They'll come and say, oh, yeah, I believe. But they never lay their hand to turn one wheel to help it go on. You see them. People come in here, and it's like burning a candle on both ends. They're just like on fire for God. They sit on the front row. And they just, I mean, it's just for about 6 months, but one little something. If they're not established, if they're not, like Brother Brown said, get born again, then start doing all that. Because you see a scrap heap of people that go out and say, oh, I don't need a new birth. This is just the greatest thing I've ever seen. I got the new birth because I believe. I believe every word that person said. I believe every word Brother Dale said. We've had people say that before. Where are they at now? Where are they at now? They couldn't run the race. They couldn't endure. We'll read it in a minute. Those who endure to the end shall be saved. Not during the journey. Those who endure to the end shall be saved. But they don't what? They'll never lay their hands to turn one wheel to help it go on. And that's like it was in the Bible. But they hung around, and they did. They'll hang around. In other words, too, you guys see that we go to the promised land, and it's a fight. They had to fight for every inch of the way. Let's continue on. Patience with what? Patience with God. If you got real faith, you got to have real, genuine patience. When God says it, you believe it. How many of us are right now holding on to a promise that God said that you're holding on to it, that you haven't seen the fruition of it yet? Should be everybody, right? So have patience, because what's going to happen is the next time I ask you to hold your hand up, some of you are not going to hold your hand up. Because you've moved through that. You've moved through this. But then you have another thing you want to raise your hand for, but not for the one you had before. Folks, listen, we count a lot of losses, but not a lot of victories. We ought to count victories and forget the losses. Why? Because God said so. We were talking about it this morning. Noah started preaching, and his whole ministry was around, there's going to be a flood. There's going to be a time of salvation if you get into this big old boat we're building. What if 10 years later, after God gave him that commission, Noah said, I'm done. I ain't building this boat no more. I'm going to go back to my denomination. I'm going to go back to the world. Them 8 people wouldn't have got saved. But he endured. He endured to the end. You know why God picked him? Because he saw him make it to the end. We find God come this far waiting for the church too, but it'll be there. Don't worry. He promised it. Isaiah 40, verse 28 says, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint." We believe that. "And to them that have no might, he increases their strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall." But listen to this. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." Some of y'all need a lot of it right now, boy. It's them carbs are kicking in. "They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Is that in the Bible? Is that in the Bible? Oh, it's in Isaiah 40. They ought to write a song about that. Perseverance, 1962, Brother Brown said, "The trouble of it with we people, we're in too much of a hurry. It's just got to be done right away. Can't come back no more," see? And when you get that in your mind, you're going to lose right there. You're on losing ground right there. You have nothing to stand on. You must be patient. Right. Uncertain sound, 1961. "God said it was going to rain, and it rained. Those who found a way of escape took it. Those who didn't perished." The same God that said it'll rain is the same God that rained fire from heaven and destroyed the world. And there's a way prepared for you. Those who will take it will escape. Those who won't will perish. The sinner will perish with the sinful world, but the redeemed shall be redeemed by the Holy Spirit. And Noah was right in the middle of all that. We should have patience with one another. Let me try to get through this really quick. We got so much impatience with one another. We think we got to be like Moses. Moses had patience with the people. Look, that's what caused them not to go over. Remember, Moses struck the rock instead of speaking to the rock because of the people. All right? It's hard to do. I've tried to have patience. This is 33 years. Now, this is Brother Bram talking about his people that's sitting in front of him. All right? Have patience. Women still bob their hair. Still just the same. That's what I said before. Brother Branham's message impacted the world like no other message. And it didn't destroy one denomination. It didn't keep the women from cutting their hair. It didn't keep from people not coming to church. And it's the same way today. Until you get the new birth, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you're going to do what you want to do anyway. You're going to slip around and cut your hair. You're going to slip around and not come to church. But just have patience. Just have patience. Wait. You have to. If you ain't got it, don't try to build it on this down here. He's talking about down at the bottom. Have patience. Here's Paul says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." What? Or the plan that is set before us. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him," look, "endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Matthew 10, verse 22, Jesus is speaking. He said, "You shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved." That word "endureth" means to remain, abide, not recede or flee. To persevere under misfortune and trials. Not under candy and ice cream. Under misfortune and trials to hold fast to one's faith in Christ. To bear bravely and calmly, even if you have ill treatments. Now what does it says, endure to the end. That word "end," let's read that. Let's look at that real good. The end to which all things relate, the aim or the purpose. Right? The aim of the purpose is not that we're going to come to a place and we're going to dead end, we're going to die and just go away. The end of salvation is eternal life. We don't need salvation when we get a brand new body, or this body redeemed. Like I said before, we're not going to need faith. We don't need faith to get to church today, do we? We're here. We don't need faith, but we need faith to get back home. But we won't need faith when we... Everything of that comes to an end. All right, look, Hebrews 6:12 said that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Jesus said, look, and he's talking about Jesus, he said, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Yes. After Amen. Abraham patiently endured, he got the promise. Amen. Hebrews 12, verse 1, wherefore seeing we're compassed with a great cloud of witness, let us run with patience. I read that. He endured the cross. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. That's me and you. We have to walk around with sinners every day. Right? And we have to endure some. Right? Lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. Luke 21:19 says, in your patience possess ye your souls. Now let's look at godliness just for a minute and then we'll take communion. The word godliness means holiness or reverence and respect. Piety towards God, godliness. Reverence. Respect. Piety towards God. 2 Timothy 3 verse 2. Now watch. There's two different kinds of godliness. Like there's two trees. There's two different kinds of godliness. For man shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, Lord, we see that, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness. They've got all these issues. They have a form of godliness. We don't want a form of godliness. We want godliness. So there's a form of godliness, and we'll talk about it later. We don't have time now. We'll carry on just for a second. Having a form of godliness, look, but denying the power. So you're taking the power of godliness away. What is godliness, Brother Brown said? To be like God. But look, he said right here, from such turn away. In other words, get away from it. Don't get up close to it. Get away from it. Having a form of godliness. For of this sort are they which creep in houses, leading captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with many lusts. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 3 says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Shout you a perfect man, watch. But if we got genuine faith, then we put genuine virtue to it, then genuine knowledge, genuine temperance, genuine patience. See, now you're moving right on up the line, all right? Fifthly, add godliness. Oh my. Godliness is to be added. What does godliness mean? I looked in four or five dictionaries and couldn't even find what it meant. Finally, I was down at Brother Jeffrey's there. We found it in a dictionary. Godliness means to be like God. Amen. Oh my, after you got faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, then be like God. Whew. You say, I can't do that, Brother Branham. Oh yes, you can. Amen. All right, now we believe Brother Branham say all these different things. Can you believe what he said right there? We believe all these things. Yeah, oh, believe he's a prophet. Now, Brother Brown said we can have godliness. Oh, really? Oh, okay. Let me just read you a few scriptures. And he goes to Matthew 5:48. He goes to Matthew 5:48. See if you're supposed to be like God. You're God's, Jesus said. All the virtue, all the things that's in God is in you. Amen. Now, look. Oh, let me read it right here. But be ye therefore perfect. What is that? Perfect, even as your Father in heaven. You got way up here now before you're asked to do that. God didn't ask us to be godly when we were adding virtue. We've got these virtues and they're working. It's like the cylinders in a car. They're working. And then God all of a sudden, he says, all right, you got to be like me. All right, you got to be like me. You got to start acting all this. You got to start being like God. Not acting, but be it. You get way up here now before you're asked to do that. All these things have to be added first. Yes. Right. Then when you get up here, mm-hmm. He's asked you now to be perfect, godliness, sons and daughters of God. That's right. How many things I could say along that line? Then he talks about turning to Ephesians. He gave some apostles, prophets, and some prophets, pastors, and apostles. Remember last night, don't try to take the other man's office. Some evangelists, some pastors. For the perfecting of God. Does it read like that? Congregation says no. For the perfection of what? They said saints. Who are the saints? The sanctified ones. That's you. The one started from down here. The one started from down here. Perfecting of the saints, working of the ministry, ministry of Jesus Christ, for the edifying of the body, until we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. We know how that goes. Let's read this right here. And then we'll go ahead and everybody stand to their feet. And we'll start taking communion. Brother Brown said, and a man that's born of God, a son of God, has to have the nature of God. Amen. He has to be like God. Now this is in Shreveport, Louisiana, 1965. This is on Thanksgiving Day, right before he died. 11/25, 1965. And the man that's born of God, a son of God, has to have the nature of God. Amen. He has to be like God. He honors God. He is part of the Word of God. And in this last days of this bride taking form, just exactly the same power that he was at the beginning has come up through these organizations and so forth and come out for the bride, me and you. He can't be nothing else but that. Can't divert. There's not a, we haven't built a bypass. We got to go right through it. We can't bypass adversity. We can't bypass a war. We can't bypass not having bad days, having bad thoughts. You can't bypass that. But it's for the bride. You can't be nothing else but that. Let's stand to our feet. Man that's born of God, a son of God, has to have the nature of God. Amen. Has to have it. He has to be like God. Yes. I'll promise you. Go get you 20 people and bring them in here and let's preach this sermon again. By the by, half, they'll be gone. Because they can't stand it. They can't be perfect. Oh, you can't be perfect. You ain't perfect and I ain't perfect. How many people have heard that? 1,000 times. That's their excuse for not going on with God. We don't have that excuse in this message of the hour. We have an open book. We have all the way. We can see God's plan from beginning to the very end. And know one thing's for sure. We were talking about this last night. Most people in the not the ranks of the message, but most people out in the denominations, everybody's got to die. Everybody's got to die. Everybody's got to go to judgment. Everybody's got to go through the tribulation. Right? We know none of that's true. We know that. But they don't. They've been taught that. Listen, hell's not even burning right now. I got a quote. Brother Brown said, hell's not burning right now. Listen, he said, there's not even judgment right now. He said, God is such a just God, he's going to give you an opportunity to present your case. You said, that ain't right. Yes, it is. You read in the Bible where they say, have I not cast out devils in your name? What they're doing, they're standing in front of God at the white throne judgment because they're being judged. And they're saying, have I not done this? They're pleading their case even when they know that they turned God down. They're still pleading their case, trying to get somewhere with God. Ain't it happening? Let's have it here. See that? We see now that we're judged here. We're not going to have to go to the white throne judgment. The world don't see that. Even the nominal world. I was reading a little thing the other day on YouTube. Billy Graham, they asked him about the Trinity. And he did. He stumbles around. He's this great theologian. And he's a messenger of God. We know that. Brother Brown said he was. He was a messenger of God like the two messengers from Sodom. And he just really couldn't explain it. But we know. Our kids can explain what one God is. that it's not a Trinity. Our kids can do that. But it's because what they've been taught. It's what you've been taught. All right, let's go ahead. Anybody have a need? Everybody, all minds clear? You have a need? Okay. Come on. You don't have a need? Good. Man. Oh, you need more of him. Okay. Well, we're going to take, you know what we're going to do? We're going to do an ordinance that he said to do until he come. And God bless Brother Anderson. He's fixing to put this up so we can read it and about the communion. Did everybody see that? Can you see that? You see this right here? You see that? That's called matzo. It's bread that they make to take communion with. And look what it's got in it. It's got holes in it. It's got holes and stripes. It's got holes and stripes. What? That was the body of the Lord. That's not the body of the Lord, but it's in representation of the body of the Lord. All right, let's go into the communion. Go ahead and pull it up, Brother Anderson. We'll read it from there. For I have received, this is 1 Corinthians, if you want to follow along. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the what? The New Testament. It won't be bulls and goats after tonight. Not to his followers. Now that didn't do away with the blood of bulls and goats. They just kept on going. But remember, there was nothing to it after that. God didn't represent them. Because remember in AD 70 when Titus destroyed the city, they all ran back into Jerusalem and went to the temple. Well, he wasn't there. Because the temple himself told him in Matthew, when you see these things, get out of the city. And they didn't believe him. They stayed in the city and thought he was still in the temple and thought God was still there with him when he had already left the building. The same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. I hope today we've examined ourselves. From what's been read in Scripture and the prophet's message, we ought to remember, Brother Brown said, you either come in that door, when you leave, you either better or you worse. Because what you've done is you've, if you're better, then you've got your sins remitted that you brought them in. But if you didn't and you walk back out, you took them with you. And the Bible said it heaps coals on top of your head if you do that. All right? So that's why we don't just come to church. I come to church to get rid of stuff. Don't you? I come to church to feel better. All right? But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of the bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you. In other words, you do it because you shouldn't. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. You see how he's separating? He's separating the judgment now. He's separating it out. There's a judgment out there. There's a judgment you're going to do. You're going to take this. You're going to take the wine. You're going to take the matzo or the bread. And you're going to show the Lord's death until he comes. You're going to take this. As we said many times before, Brother Claude, different ones that you ask him about communion. Well, not now because he does it like we do. But when you first start going around seeing people, and they say, well, we take communion when the people are ready. I said, well, we'd never take it. If every person thought they were ready, we'd not take it. But we take it every month, knowing that we're going to come in here and we're going to, if you got a problem today, you need to get rid of it. Today's a good day to clean her up. All right. Then we know that 30 days later, we're going to clean her up again. It makes us be different. Isn't that what Peter said about the statue of perfect man? It'll make you. that you'll walk different. If any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together into condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. We all know one thing's for sure, that it's not the literal body and blood of the Lord. It is made by holy hands, though it is not held over. That will be burnt. You'll have to give that to me, because Brother Ryan's burning the bread for us, so we'll have to do that for him since he's gone. But that's an ordinance, and it's an ordinance that we do right. We don't use grape juice. We use wine. It's made by holy hands, not added. It works itself. That's the power of the Holy Ghost. It'll work itself. The Bible said he took bread and blessed it. Dear Lord, thank you for this bread. We know where it came from, and we know one thing's for sure. It'll not be held over till tomorrow, that there'll be fresh bread. And Lord, as they had the manna out of the wilderness, Lord, it's a fresh revelation, Lord, that tomorrow that we'll have a freshness of you, Lord. And may today, Lord, that what we've said today, Lord, will help freshen each one of us, Lord. Clean us out, Lord. Just bless us now as we take this part that you've told us to do till you come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There is there's a lot of people don't take communion anymore because they said the Lord's already come. You know, he said, do this until I come. Well, they said, well, in 1963, he's already come. I just think they're afraid to take communion. And just like with Brother Claude, you know, and that's the way they were raised. That's the way Brother Jess wanted it done. But now he doesn't do it that way, because I was talking to him. This has been years ago. That why we do it every month, and I'm sure we've done it ever since we've had the church open, that we do it because it keeps us clean. It keeps us checked up. It doesn't let stuff get piled up, or as Brother Brown said, scrap heaps of people along the highway. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for this wine. Now I pray, Lord, as we partake, that it'll stimulate us, Father. The different things, Lord, we've heard today from your Bible, your precious word, and the prophet's message, may it become, Lord, part of us. And may we, Lord, as Paul said, run this race with patience, not looking back, but looking forward, and run this thing to the end, Lord. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for blessing us as a congregation. And I pray, Lord, that you bless each one that takes these to the lips and takes, Lord, this ordinance, that you'll bless them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come morning, I'll walk by the river. I'll rest neath the evergreen tree. I'll carry my cross through the midnight. Come morning, there's glory for me. Sometimes I'm despised and rejected, and I question, oh Father, how long? Then I take one with patient eyes, with patience, we take the look at Mount Calvary. It's been 2,000 years since he hung on that cross. Coming up this weekend, you know, as we reverence that day, it's been a while. Are we still persevering? Many have fallen away. Many have quit. Many have just turned, like you always say, turned the keys in. Went back to what they were doing. We need to pray for them. Pray for them, pray for them, pray for them. We were discussing the other day about how when everybody's here, we kind of crammed up. And I said, well, if all those people come back that we're praying for, we'll have to get an auditorium. You think about all the people that you pray for, that you want. I don't want them sitting in the church. I don't want them just saved to be a good Baptist. That's okay. I want them to be bride. I want them to be bride. I want them to have the Holy Ghost in their soul. Whether they make it all the way up to statue of perfect man, that's their business. But I want them to be in the kingdom of God. I do not want them to just be somebody we pray for and then they're gone. No. Because you know what? Mom and Dad prayed for me. I took off and left for 20 years, but you know what? Since 1998, 1997, December, praise the Lord, I hadn't went anywhere. And it's got better and better. Sure, fail, yeah, many times. Got scrubs all over my knees. But that's where you ought to have them, on your knees. And ask forgiveness. And then, you know what? Then you look back and see that he's cleaned you up. Right? He's cleaned you, made you clean by the word of God. You can't clean yourself up. I'll promise you that. You will never, ever clean yourself up. But if you'll let, when Jesus picked that goblet up off that table and they poured that wine in that bottle, there was no turning back. He was going to Calvary. He was going to give his life. He was going to die. But he knew that to be a New Testament, there had to be the death of a testator. And he was the testator standing there. He was the only one that could do what he said. Caiaphas, he could say, well, you know, I can go in there and I can get your sins forgiven for a year, but I know this man. He said, once and for all, I'm doing away with sin. Now, it's being fulfilled down through the church ages. It wasn't just instant. It was having patience. But guess what? Those who endure to the end shall be saved. He knew that. Let's take. While they're picking those up, let's go ahead and read, Brother Anderson, let's read the foot washing scripture. And supper being ended, the devil having now put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. He's already got it. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he was come from God and went to God, he rises from supper and laid aside his garment and took a towel and girded himself. And after that he poureth into a basin water, and began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus said, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Boy, he was fixing to get it several days after that. He'd get the Holy Ghost, and I guarantee you his old sailor mind went right back to that night and said, this is why he did it. This is why he washed my feet. And Peter, I believe, when he was writing this right here, he was going, it all started with somebody washing my feet. This whole journey started with foot washing. The master washed my feet. I didn't even want him to wash them. Jesus is answering and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never. Now, he was pretty adamant about it. He didn't say, maybe not now. He said, you'll never wash my feet. Jesus said, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean ever wet. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore he said, ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, took his garment, was set down, he said, know you what I have done to you? Now, he's asking a question. You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Truly, it's been a blessing, Lord, to speak to your people. Father, I pray now that we'll take what's said and use it. And Lord, now this ordinance that we're taking now with communion and foot washing, Lord, I pray that you would bless each person that participated. Lord, for those ones that didn't participate, Lord, I pray that you would give them eternal life, Lord. Save their soul and then let them be able to take this communion because it's an ordinance that you give us to do until you come. Father, I'm praying, Lord, that everybody, all would be able to take communion and all would be able to do foot washing, Lord. Lord, I want this place to be so tight that Satan can't get a hold of anything or any part. That we bind together so much until that there's not even a crack left. Lord, that's my prayer. Probably don't do the best I should, but I pray that you'd help me try to do what I can. Be with us today, Lord. Forgive us of our faults and many failures, our sins against you. Lord, may we feel clean when we get finished with this. He said, but you're clean, but not all. Some are not going to be clean. Water's not going to be able to wash them. But what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Father, just be with us now and take care of us. Be with the ones that are on the highways, June driving now, and the ones that are going later, me and Thomas later tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd be with each one, Father. Just give us our daily bread and just be with us the furtherment of this week, Lord, until we come back this weekend, Lord. We had good prayer meeting there Saturday night, Lord, praying for the service. Be with Brother Aaron on Wednesday night as he comes and ministers to us, Lord. Be with Brother Dutch on Friday night, Lord. Be with Brother Chris, Lord, Saturday, and the ministers that come to the meeting, Lord. I pray that you would touch them with the message that's being brought. Be with us on Sunday, Lord, being the first day of the week, be resurrection morning. Lord, may we renew ourselves in your word. May we renew our faith, renew our virtue and our knowledge and temperance and patience that we can lead others. We've got to get out of here, Lord. And you give us a plan to get out of here. We just got to adhere to that plan and not try to insert our own ideas, our own thoughts. Lord, but just take yours, and as the prophet of God did say, he moves out of the way and lets you take over. Lord, I pray that happens to everyone in this building, that we'll not be our own. The Bible says we're bought with a price, and it was the price of the death of the testator to bring a new testament, to bring newness of life, to bring where we don't have to worry about being spotted or wrinkled are blamed for anything, but we'll be blameless, we'll be spotless, and we'll have no wrinkles. Father, just be with us in the furtherment of this foot washing service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed. God bless you. Let the sisters get out of the building before we